Hi, this is Merity Duddleston. Starting in the 60s, into the 70s, and again during the 80s, at various times and under various owners, Billy Mitchell has worked at the Apollo as an usher, gift shop manager, amateur night producer, and more. Here's Billy on being at the Apollo in 1991, when new management came in. He was doing hospitality work for a concert promoter who dealt with the theater and was offered a job. It's Billy who came up with the idea that eventually gave him the nickname Mr. Apollo and remains his life work.
So I come back, I'm doing hospitality, I'm moving and grooving, and the new people say, who is this guy? He seems like he knows everything around here. I said, yeah, this is my place, you guys are new. And before you know it, they said, well, we have a position in group sales. Would you mind taking that position? I turned it down because at the time in 1991, I had a part in a movie called Malcolm X, my childhood friend Denzel Washington. I was collecting unemployment and I was doing a hospitality. So I thought I was good financially. And the Apollo calls me back 3 weeks later, said the position is still available. Do you want it? I says, Billy, this is a real full-time job. You know, the other things were part-time and they weren't solid enough. And I came back and I started doing group sales. And then I came up with the idea of doing tours from the things that I learned.
Didn't they go for this? Because it's one of the most legendary theaters.
They went for it but I had to let them know that I was knowledgeable. You just can't give tours and not know what you're talking about. So I had to let the new people know that I was very close to Ralph Cooper, who created Amateur Night, and who was one of the people that first started having black people come to the Apollo Theater to perform. See, Ralph Cooper was an African-American actor. He was a big-time actor back in the 20s and 30s. And the building that is now the Apollo Theater was originally an all-white burlesque house. And then burlesque was banned in New York by Mayor Fiorella LaGuardia. And new owners take over the building in 1934 and change the name from Hertick and Siemens New Burlesque Theater to the Apollo Theater. And they started wanting to present colored reviews, shows featuring black people. Because, see, Harlem was first Irish, Italian, Latino, Dutch, and Jewish. Blacks didn't live in Harlem. So the owners wanted to have their audiences see these blacks that they were hearing about during that period, which was called the Harlem Renaissance. So, you know, and they wanted to see Fats Waller, UB Blake, Cab Calloway. So the owners said, well, we'll start doing colored reviews, you know. And then blacks are moving into Harlem, so they'll have a place to see some of their own as well. So in 1934, January 26th to be exact, they tapped Ralph Cooper to put together a show called Jazz a la Carte, all black cast, right? Then that show was such a huge success. They says, Ralph, what else can you bring us? Ralph says, I'm going to bring my radio show to your theater. It was the first ever organized talent show ever done anywhere in the public, but it was done on the radio. It was called the Harlem Amateur Hour Radio Show. But when Ralph Cooper brought it to the Apollo, it was renamed Amateur Night at the Apollo. And the first year that talent show was brought to the Apollo, there was a young girl that won the competition. Her name was Ella Fitzgerald. And that was the beginning.
And Sarah Vaughan, too.
Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday, James Brown, Dionne Warwick, the Isley Brothers, Gladys Knight, the Pips.
Yeah.
They all started on Amateur. In my lifetime, I saw Luther Vandross. I saw the Jacksons when Michael was only 9 years old, when they first did Amateur Night on the talent show. I was there.
Well, was the audience, you know, the audience, they're pretty opinionated.
They're
what
brutally
was it like
honest.
Back then?
The audience is brutally honest at the Apollo Theater because our audience knows, or they think they know, good entertainment. And our audience has been and always will be very diverse. Black, white, Latino, Asian, Indian, rich, poor, intelligent, unintelligent, rowdy, subdued, but they all want to see a good performance. And the audience are the judges of Amateur Night. It's not like four or five people like they do on some of the other talent shows. The entire audience judges the talent. if the audience members like you, they applaud you. Yay! And if they don't like you, they will actually boo you. Boo! Get off the stage! You're a bum! You're terrible!
It's gotta be really hard.
It is hard on the performer, but the people in the audience, they're having a ball. Oh, they're laughing and they're pointing. And the performers, some of them really take it to heart. But also, I've seen performers use that as fuel. And they've come back, and they've come back and slayed the audience. James Brown was booed.
James Brown was booed?
The first time he did Amateur Night was booed. Luther Vandross became a legend, was booed.
Lauryn Hill was booed.
Lauryn Hill was booed on our TV show, Showtime of the Apollo. Absolutely. Look at them now. So, you know, Jamie Foxx was booed.
Yeah.
And look at him. This guy's all over the place, you know. So it's a good opportunity for people to test out their talent. And they can gauge the audience. Because if you do well at the Apollo Theater, you know you can do well out in show business. And a lot of the professional performers, they are under the impression that if they come to the Apollo, they have to bring their A game because they think the crowd's going to boo them. These are professionals. All the Motown acts used to think that when they first came to Apollo. But the audience knows the difference between a talent show and a professional concert. But the performers don't know that. They just know that the Apollo audience, they will boo you if they don't like you. We've had professional performers, big names, that are intimidated by the Apollo. Philadelphia is known like the like Detroit with Motown, but Philly. Common, rappers like Common, they're all from Philly. And Philly has produced some of the best entertainers that ever lived. And you hear about more and more, and you say, well, where are they from? Oh, they're from Philly. Really?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that. I'm just a very fortunate and blessed individual. I'm not, you know, monetarily wise, you know, rich or anything like that, but I'm rich in things that I've seen and the friends that I've accumulated over these years. I am really blessed, Meredy. I really am.
Well, I think, Billy, the things that you've gotten to see have got to be incredible. I mean, yeah. These backstage views, nobody gets that.
Yeah, I get to see everything backstage.
Do they still fight over the dressing rooms, like you said?
We have two types of dress rooms. We have the more modern dress rooms. We call them star dress rooms, where you have plasma screens on the wall, DVD players, laptops, mini refrigerators, showers in the bathroom, telephones, intercoms. And then we have the original dress rooms that we've just fixed up a little bit. But when Paul McCartney comes there, who I introduced in concert upon his request, by the way, can you imagine Paul McCartney asking me to introduce him? You know, it's crazy.
Nice.
So he used the old dressing rooms. When Beyonce was there, when Taylor Swift was at the Apollo, the old dressing room.
Why?
I think they prefer the history behind those. Even though the more modern dress rooms have all the modern amenities, but they want to be where Ella was, where Billie Holiday was, where Nat King Cole was, you know, Louis Armstrong. And I think they purposely choose those dress rooms over the fancier ones.
It's a pleasure talking with you. Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.